The song that first made Culture Beat famous here in the U.S. was Mr. Vain, and throughout the world, Mr. Vain was number one all over the globe. And joining us right now to talk about the good old days and some current news about Culture Beat is Frank from Culture Beat. How are you, man?
Very good. Thank you. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, of course. Now, some exciting news that Culture Beat is now more of the stuff's on iTunes, and I hear more of the catalogs also being released soon. Can you kind of update us on all that?
Actually, it should be on right now. We started released in Germany in the beginning of March, and as far as I know, the rollout was worldwide. So it should be there, and due to some legal issues, we weren't be able to put it on iTunes before, so I'm happy that that has been resolved, and hope people can buy it, and not only download it on the various other platforms.
And I have downloaded a couple of tracks, so it is definitely there. Is there more on the way then, or is pretty much all of it on there?
That's like all of the catalog. What I have is still some unreleased stuff, so I'm thinking of probably putting that on at some point too. Yes, previously never released as a CD. But the first major issue for me was to get the catalog on there, and as I think there's only one single that I'm missing. But for the rest, we have all the mixes, so pretty much everything is out there.
How much, like, unheard stuff is there that's recorded in the vault? Are we talking, like, a dozen songs, 30 songs, 50 songs? How many are there?
We had one album that never made it to the public, so that would be around 12 songs.
Can't wait to hear them. We're talking right now to Frank with Culture Beat. All the stuff's on iTunes, so make sure you check that out. Now, as far as where the group stands right now, how active is it? Who are the current members and all that stuff?
We have a new singer. We have a singer, Jackie, from the UK. She's with us since 1999. And I don't know whether it's ever been released in the States. We did 2003, a remake of Mr. Vain, which was called Mr. Vain Recall, like a touch-up on it. So she sang that. And then actually she performed the one album that we never released. And so she's been around for a while. And as you know, within Culture Beat, we always had various performers, since it's more of a producer's project. And even though most people cut it down to Tanya and Jay, obviously had the biggest hit, but there have been somebody before Tanya and Jay, and there were people after Tanya and Jay. But at the moment, we see ourselves more as a 90s act, so we did a lot of live performances. We play a lot in Europe, and because there's a new trend that all those 90s festivals pop up, so where we see all of our friends from groups like Snap and La Bouche and The Real McCoy and so forth. So that is happening. And that's pretty much what we do. I don't really see us doing any new stuff because I think the new stuff would be to new groups. And we just, you know, do our style of music, our hits, and have people enjoying the 90s music.
Yeah, we got to get you guys over here. That tour would be awesome to get. Are you coming to any plans to come to the States at all?
Would love to, but problem is usually that, you know, since, I don't know, the demand is probably limited, most of the promoters kind of shrieked away from the travel expenses. And to be honest, for us, going to the States, playing small clubs for almost no money, being on the road for a couple of weeks, would mean that we would lose out on our European gigs, and that, again, makes it sometimes for us difficult to come to the States, even though we would very much love to be there. If somebody finally gets some sort of a 90 festival here on in the States, that would be great.
We've got to do that. I'm determined now, man.
Yeah, do it. I mean, it works really well all over Europe. I mean, we have, like, in the Benelux, Germany, actually, everywhere except for the UK, we have lots of those festivals, and they all work really well.
Yeah, we still get tons and tons of calls from Mr. Vain. We're talking right now to Frank from Culture Beat. So let's kind of go back, way back. Culture Beat was originally kind of founded, how I understand it, by your brother Torsten back in 89. And then he was kind of dreaming of being, you know, an architect, but he was working as a club DJ for many, many years. Tell us in your own words how Culture Beat kind of came together.
I mean, my brother was, as you said, a DJ. Arizona, the DJ, as many DJs in the late 80s and early 90s, started producing his own material because he was a little bit frustrated with just spinning records and playing what somebody else does. So he wanted to play something that he did. And Culture Beat was the second project he did. And actually, the third single he ever made was Der Erdbeermund. In English, it was called Cherry Lips. And that already went top 10 in the German national charts. So he got his success right away. And then in 91 came I Like You, which was a club hit in the States. And then 93, Mr. Vain. And unfortunately, my brother passed away in 1993, so he couldn't continue doing more hits with Culture Beat.
Yeah, I was going to talk more about that in particular. He luckily before he did pass way too early, obviously, but he was able to see some of the success, and he won some Echo Awards, you know, for best producer and for selling so many units. Kind of tell us, so you know, what do you want people to know about your brother, both as a producer and what kind of man was he? Kind of talk about him.
My brother was I have to say, because I'm biased, he was a great man. I mean, I really loved my brother, to say that. We were very close, and really, it's a pity that he left so early. It's not a day that I don't miss him. And, he was a very good producer, more from the technical side, though. He always had somebody with him in the studio who did more of the musical side, so he was more of the arranger producer, not so much the programming producer. And a very fun person, very lovely person, very caring person. Just a person who should have deserved to live much longer than he did.
And he wanted to be an architect, didn't he, back in the day?
He started after school doing architecture, but I think he never did even bother graduating there. So that was his like thing where he tried to be doing something, you know, straightforward, please the parents and got to do something real. But then, you know, when he started with music and music turned out well for him, he decided to be a professional in music and quit his studies.
It gets in your blood and it doesn't get out, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So how come the name Culture Beat? Was there a story with that? Do you know the story of that?
The reason for Culture Beat, the name is that, you know, the first song, as I said, is Der Erdbeermund or Cherry Lips. And the lyrics for that Erdbeermund have been a poem, which has been 300 years old. So that's been culture. And then you put a beat to it. And here you go. That's Culture Beat.
Oh, I like that. That's a cool story. We're talking to Frank right now from Culture Beat. So then he, you know, found, like you mentioned earlier, Jay Supreme and Tanya Evans in around 91, and they were with it, you know, for many groups. How did he kind of meet them? How did that process?
Actually, 91, it was Jay. Tanya came in 93. In 91, we had Lana E as a singer. And Jay was a GI in Germany. As you know, there were many American soldiers in Germany that day. And lots of GIs who been to Germany and did their service there, were musicians, you know. So Jay was a GI in Germany. And as you know, in the 90s, there were lots of American soldiers in Germany. Many of them were musicians who started their career in Germany. My brother was looking for a rapper because you want to do that kind of Eurodance thing with their song, hook, rap. To him, he lived in Germany for quite a while. Tanya joined in 1993, because in 1991, when Jay started, we had a different singer. Her name was Lana. She was German. And when she quit, my brother needed a new singer. And through a friend who knew her from London, introduced him to her. So he went to London, see her, did an audition, and signed her for Culture.
Oh, cool. And then the Jay Supreme thing, that's kind of similar to, we interviewed Lane from LaBouche a while ago. Kind of the similar
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Lane from LaBouche or Tubal B from Snap, the Army, and they all were kind of whatever base somewhere in the Rhine-Main area. And by that, came into X and met German producers and had some success.
Now, like we mentioned earlier, Torsten received a number of awards for the album Serenity, including like the Echo Awards, like we said. What kind of explain that for people over here in the U.S., explain what an Echo Award is.
Yeah, the Echo Award is the German equivalent to the Grammys. So it's like the award for best whatever song, pretty much equivalent to the Grammys, the German Grammy.
What do you remember about that night? Do you remember any good stories from him or anything?
Actually, on the Echo Awards, when I have strong memories, because by the time the actually awards were held, my brother already passed away, so I was there to take his echoes, and that, of course, was a very emotional moment for me.
So then, the song Mr. Vain, obviously, you know, is huge around the globe. Still today, it's played all the time, clubs, radio, everywhere. Do you know anything about the moment that song was born, or you know, how they came up with that?
My brother worked with a songwriter, again, from the same town, so it's been a very local thing, and he was more like of a country singer-songwriter, trying to do country out of Germany, which of course is like, I don't know, more or less not happening. So they met, and then he started writing books for all the dance tracks my brother produced, you know. And on Mr. Wayne, of course, that was like the story. He wrote it in sitting in a cafe in the town that we all lived, and it was called Darmstadt. It's near Frankfurt. And my brother did this track, and then he put it on top of it. The songwriter's name is Noel de Katzmann, and then he ended up being one of the most successful dance songwriters in the 90s. He wrote hits like Mr. Vain, More and More for Captain Hollywood Project. He did something for Scooter. He wrote songs not known in the U.S. but huge in Europe, DJ Bobo, Lost, and so forth. So he's been like one of the hook songwriters, dance music in the 90s.
Well, and then the third album came out, which probably one of my favorites, 1995. It was called Inside Out. So, I mean, I'm assuming that must have been a really tough time for you, obviously. I mean, because you kind of took over the group and had to, just forge ahead with everything going on. So how tough was that, and how rewarding was that album, getting that album out?
To be honest, it was very tough because I had to change a lot. I mean, I started with the people that my brother worked with, but for various reasons that didn't happen. Yeah? So I had to find new production teams, and that all in a very short notice because, of course, the record label was a bit concerned whether it's going to take on. So there was a lot of pressure on me from the label, Culture Beat being an international priority, and then all of a sudden there's somebody from the outside, and I didn't have a musical background, and was trying to put it all together. But in the end of the day, of course, it's been very rewarding. Inside Out went platinum in Germany, the single, or all close to platinum. And the album did really well. And it's something, to be honest, I'm really proud of that it worked. And it's been tough, but by the time we had the release party, I still remember the release party we had for Inside Out. By the time we had the release party, everyone was playing, MTV was there, German television, and so forth. And everybody liked it. Everybody applauded it. That was very rewarding.
What were you doing at the time you took over? I mean, what was kind of your background?
Actually, I was a consultant before I did that. I mean, I was always close by to my brother. The idea we had was at some point that we do whatever a company together, me doing the business side, he doing the creative part. And at that time, when my father passed away, I was a management consultant. So completely different with business background.
Well, the fourth album had to have been a challenge, too. In 1997, that one came out. You know, it was kind of more of like a pop mainstream direction, I guess. How come you guys made that choice?
At that time, you know, it was very difficult with dance because it was already kind of an overexposure of dance in Germany. So you wouldn't get any media and so forth. And to be honest, I just felt that as a challenge because, I mean, from what kind of the other music was around there, what else was for us there to contribute? So the Eurodance phase was already gone. So you either reinvent yourself or stop. So we tried to reinvent ourselves. And I think with Kim Sanders, we delivered a very good kind of pop album. It was very hard for people to digest. But in the end, it was like we had a radio hit for the first time. So we had like two of the top 10 airplay hits for Germany with that album. Yeah. However, unfortunately, by the time we were about to harvest on that investment, that drastic change, Kim decided to leave us. Yeah? And that was, to be honest, a major blow for Culture Beat because then kind of the whole project a little bit fell apart.
Yeah, that's tough. But, you know, a few years later, Insanity kind of blew up, especially in Israel. Like, when you release a song, I mean, it had to have surprised you that it was that country out of all of them, right?
To be honest, I didn't know about it and somebody told me. You know, it just, for whatever reason, been a number one hit in Israel, from what I know. Yeah, I didn't even know that. Yeah, I mean, just somebody told me.
Yeah? Really?
It's true. Yeah, I mean, somebody. Yeah, you're number one in Israel. I said, like, yeah, you know, I'm the king of Sweden. No, you're really. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that so random how that works out? You know, it catches on at different places of the world.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, that's the good thing about music. Yeah, like the one thing that makes you really proud when you're involved in a musical project is that you touch so many people and you reach so many people. So it's been like, if you would have seen the studio Mr. Wayne was recorded in, I mean, that was a home studio in a room in my brother's apartment. And from that studio comes a song that, you know, that's been all over the world. So people dance to it from Chile to Australia, from Vietnam to China, Russia, America, all over Europe, Africa. So that is amazing, you know, and that's, for me, the most rewarding part is to do something that touches so many people.
Yeah, that's random to think about. That's true. I never thought of it like that before, you know? Just some random studio, and it's all over the world for years and years and years after. It's a cool thing.
Yeah, it is.
So we're talking to Frank right now from Culture Beat. So do you still keep in touch with Jay Supreme and some of the other early members? Kind of update the on some of the members from the early days.
I am in touch with Kim Sanders, who's been a member. Jay and Tanya, not so much, to be honest. I mean, I lost touch. Jay, I think, moved back to the States. Yeah, I spoke to him once or twice, but, you know, since he's moving around, we kind of lost track. And same with Tanya, to be honest, which is unfortunate, but that's sometimes how things go.
Any chance of getting them all back together someday for, like, a tribute tour, do you think, someday?
I don't think so.
No?
Being together on stage again, I don't think so.
No. Okay.
We had a good time. It's been good for what it is, and then at some point you have to keep moving on.
Well, make sure you kind of tell us about the future then. Make sure, talk about the new members again, kind of tell us more about their background so we're all familiar with the current lineup and everything.
Okay, so the singer we're working with right now, that's Jackie Sangster. Jackie is British, lives right now in Denmark. When I found her, she was living in Amsterdam, and actually she was dancing in a club, those go-go dancers in a club. So I pretty much signed her off the bass box. Yeah? And a very, very performer, very talented singer, very person, dear friend by now. And her performances are just mind-blowing. I mean, she's very energetic on stage, and that's what we need right now, because as I told you, we're now more focusing on doing festivals, and so whenever people see her on stage, they just go crazy.
And then how can we here in the United States, how can we stay in touch with the latest news? And tell us about your website and how we can keep in touch with you and everything.
Oh, we are really bad on that. I mean, I have to touch it up. My website is, I'm ashamed of even mentioning it because it's not really there. Same with Facebook and Twitter. We are really bad on that. Yeah. So that has been like one of the things I have to write in my book to be better on that. So that soon you're going to get more info if you're interested. I mean, there is a Twitter account, which we hardly ever tweet. There is a Facebook page that we just initialized, which we hardly ever use. And the homepage is www.culture-beat.com. But then again, too little happening on the page. I have to be better on that.
Well, it's on iTunes. That's the most important thing is the music's now available on iTunes. That's the number one thing.
That's right. I would really say, what kind of news would you hear about us? It's like more or less, I think for most people, Culture Beat is something, memories. So they heard the song at a various location or a certain situation, and it's about bringing back those memories. Once somebody told me he was an A&R from Canada, and I think he had a very good sum up for Culture Beat. He said, Culture Beat is around having fun. Yeah? And I like that because it's not, we don't want to change the world. We don't want to have any message and make people better. We are just about having fun, having some fun memories, and that's what it's all about. And so if people do have some good memories of Culture Beat, that's all we can ask for.
Well, again, thank you so much for making time, and on a personal level, I really am a really big fan, and thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, and I enjoyed it, and thank you for your persistence, and happy doing this interview.
You too. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care.